Well, good afternoon, fellow constitutionalists, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Dan Clements Show, a Christian political talk show. I'm your host, Dan Clements, your constitutional lawyer fighting for your right just to be an American. It is January 23rd in the year of the Lord, 2018. Remember, we're a hyphen-free, PC-free zone. God is still in control, and He does love you. And I'm broadcasting from the Hemlock Studios here in the beautiful central Susquehanna Valley in the great Keystone State. And today we're going to talk about, on the show here, we're going to talk about an event that happened on Saturday night. Now, last week was a pretty full week. We had the March for Life on Friday. We had the Women's March on Saturday. And Saturday night we had what was called a Night for Freedom up in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan, New York. And I want to just talk a little bit about this because there's some, I don't want to say controversy around this, but there was some Antifa activity that was uncalled for around this. There are reports in the lamestream media that are reporting this, mostly out of the UK, because I didn't see much over here at all in any of the media here about the A Night for Freedom event that Mike Cernovich, a lawyer from California, was hosting and put on, and he had guests like Gavin McGinnis, Stefan Molyneux, I can't remember if there was a comedian there, Owen Bryan, or Brian Owen, one of the two. I'm not exactly sure his name. I've only seen him a couple times. He's a funny guy, but I've only seen him a couple times. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about this because this is, I want to make 2 points with this. That one, the lamestream media, whenever they see something that is right of them, that they don't agree with, they want to paint it in the worst possible picture. And so they were calling it alt-right party in Manhattan, and a party, an evening of deplorables. And it just, they don't get the freedom movement, they don't understand it, and since they don't understand it, they're going to mock it, and they're going to ridicule it, and they're going to put it down. And that's lamestream media. And then you have Antifa. Now here was a party, and we'll get into some of the articles here, but here was a party that was indoors, not on the street, almost 1,000 people, between 650 to 1,000 people, depending on who you listen to, were in attendance to this event, and there were speeches, there was a couple different panels, question and answer sessions, and it looked like some, fun frivolity, imbibing of adult beverages. And if you go over and watch any of these videos, if you Google that, A Night for Freedom, if you Google that, please be aware that there is some vulgarity and profanity. I would not be comfortable at an event like this because of that. They're free to do what they want to do, and that's great. I'm not trying to stop them. I'm not trying to put them down. I'm not trying to raise myself up above them. It's just not my cup of tea. You know, I'm not going to expose myself to that type of stuff. I think my freedom could be used in a different direction. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say my freedom, the way I choose to exercise my freedom is any better or any worse. I'm just saying my freedom takes me in a different direction as theirs does. So we're going to talk about that. And again, the British lamestream media absolutely does not get this at all. And when I try to look it up in some regular media over here, even the New York Post, I couldn't actually find a story about the party itself, A Night for Freedom. And this was not open to the public. This was an invitation, ticketed event. They had security. They said they spent upwards, with the venue and the security and everything, upwards of $100,000 on this, which was, I thought, was quite a lot. And so somehow the event got leaked. They were at one venue the day before. That got canceled at the last minute. And then they found this other venue that let them use it. But when everything was winding down and people were starting to go home, Antifa started up their tactics because they were outside the whole time, and somebody got hurt and put in the hospital. So again, we'll talk a little bit more about that as the show progresses. I don't have it set up, but I do have a new affiliate sponsor that you'll see in the next couple episodes coming up here. Whenever get everything set up, CastUs. They're the company that owns Seriously Simple Podcast Widget, the WordPress plugin for the DanClemensShow.com show notes page. And so they've approved me to be an affiliate sponsor of theirs, and it's a really good affiliate program. So I'll be sharing that with you over the next few days. Remember, next Monday, the 29th at 11 o'clock, I have an interview with Podcast Hackers. They're part of the CastUs company that puts out Seriously Simple plugin, the WordPress plugin. So, you know, I got a few things brewing here, and things are starting to go a little bit. I noticed on my picture here, I got a really clear picture, but it's a little on the dark side. I've been messing around with lighting in here today, and I guess I'm just going to have to work at building some more lights for the studio to maybe light up the desk area here a little bit better than what I am right now. But that's another story. I just want to apologize if you think this video is too dark. All right, let's get on with the show here. Today's show is being brought to you by an affiliate partner of mine, Sears Parts Direct. Look, if you're the handyman or handywoman around the house, if you do the fixing, and or you're a Tim the Tool Man Taylor type, and you need parts to fix whatever you either broke or what broke down, and you either don't have time to look for them locally, or you've looked for them locally and can't find them, let not your heart be troubled. Go to DanClemensShow.com and click on the Sears Parts Direct widget. It'll take you over to their site. Make sure you have the plaque information, serial number, model number, stuff like that. And just a little side note, if it's in a place where you have to stand on your head, like on a piece of appliance, to get all that, take your smartphone out, open up your camera app, and reach down and snap a picture with your camera. Easy peasy lemon squeezy doing it that way. Put the information in at the Sears Parts Direct site, and when you go to check out, make sure you use the offer code on the widget at the DanClemensShow.com. It'll give you 10% off. And it's been my experience. I bought through about four or five different parts off of them throughout the years now, and it has been my experience that 10% off will cover your shipping costs, which is great. So it's basically free shipping on that. So if you're the handy person around the house, you need them parts, and you like what you hear on this program, please go over to my show notes page at DanClemensShow.com and click on the Sears Part Direct widget. Today's daily Bible reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but with proper... But which is proper for women professing godliness and good works. Today's quote mail comes from C.S. Lewis, and this is a good one. It's a little long, but it's a good one. There are only two kinds of people in the end: those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done." All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and consistently desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek find. Those who knock, it is open. Again, by C.S. Lewis. And today's short Bible lesson is by Mike Riley over at gewatkins.net. Would you be missed? Very good bulletin, real short bulletin article. I encourage you to go to the DanClemensShow.com and click on the show notes page for, if you're following the episodes 963. And read that, and it's really good. Would you be missed if you left work? Would you be missed if you, for some reason, fell off the face of the earth for 6 months and came back? Would you be missed? It's a really good question that we need to ask ourselves that. You know, how active are we in things? All right. Now, this is from The Guardian, one of the lamestream medias over in the UK. I use the Daily Mail every now and then, and they seem to be pretty good. But the Guardian and the, I think the Guardian's the only one I have in here right now. Yeah, the Guardian is one of the worst ones over there as far as reporting things accurately and portraying things in a light that makes it sound worse than what it is. And their headline for this, "An Evening with Deplorables Inside the Alt-Right Party in Manhattan." The so-called "A Night for Freedom," so-called, see, the so-called. This is exactly what they called it, "A Night for Freedom." And if you watch the videos, again, there's some vulgarity in there and profanity. You need to be careful, but there's a good message that comes out if you just get it. And this is one thing I don't understand, is why they have to use so much vulgarity and profanity to get your point across. That's why, like I said, I wouldn't be comfortable in an event like that, but I understand where they're coming from. The so-called Night for Freedom featured Hillary baiting, anti-feminism, and a surprise appearance by Chelsea Manning. Now, if you don't know who Chelsea Manning is, go Google that. I think his original name was Bradley, and I think he had a sex change operation, and he's running for the Senate in Maryland now. But he made an appearance there, or she made an appearance there. On Saturday night, hundreds of self-described deplorables, arch-conservative internet personalities, trolls-turned-citizen journalists, and conspiracy theory enthusiasts put on their best suits and cocktail dresses to drink, dance, and toast the Trump presidency, an exclusive right-wing social gala called A Night for Freedom. It is unclear if there was an element of trolling in the decision to hold a pro-Trump bonanza in Manhattan. The same day, several hundred thousand people participated in a citywide women's march, but if there was, then the party's masterminds were almost foiled at their own game. You can see where this article's going, folks. Despite elaborate security precautions to prevent infiltration by journalists, protesters, and other troublemakers, the event came close to collapsing at the last moment when, in what the event organizers describe as a setup, the scheduled venue abruptly canceled the day before. Organizers scrambled behind the scenes to secure a new venue to accommodate their 750 guests, only for the second venue to also back out at 1 a.m. the morning of the event. The Hell's Kitchen nightclub finally agreed to host, apparently only after one of the event organizers offered to pay $20,000 in cash up front. And like I said, I didn't go on their website for, you know, A Night for Freedom and see what was all going on. I didn't listen to all the videos on that, and I'm just sort of taking that their word for this. But let me stop the reading here. I think some of this is either a setup or the word got out that they were trying to use these places. And again, I don't have any proof. I'm just sort of spitballing here. And members of Antifa found out and somehow got a hold of the owners of these venues and did some threatening. And I'm not saying that's what went on, but, you know, that's their M.O. And it just seems kind of strange. They had the first venue locked down, then the second one backed out the morning of, and then the third one, you know, they let them in there. And, you know, money walks, as they say. I read on. Outside the nightclub, black-clad protesters. Now, let me stop the reading there. Antifa are not protesters. Antifa are terrorists. Protesters stand across the street with signs and they yell and blah, 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 right? They're not all dressed in black. They don't have hoodies on. They don't have their faces covered and sunglasses on and everything to try to hide their identities. These are not protesters. And this is one of the things the lamestream media always gets wrong. Antifa are not protesters. Matter of fact, I read through this earlier, I don't remember them calling them protesters or Antifa at all in this, but I have some other articles that go into that. Taunted arriving guests with a heavy cordon of police stood watch, but Stepping inside felt like entering a separate universe. The atmosphere was somewhere between a political fundraiser with lots of red, white, and blue, and at one point a spoken word ode to the American flag and a high school prom. Music thumped in the background. Men wearing Trump-style red ties were everywhere. Guests were giddy with the cathartic high that comes from being in the presence of like-minded people. Many had flown in, and one man told me that he had driven 5 hours to attend. Outside was a hostile world of haters, losers, cucks, globalists, social justice warriors, betas, libtards, and soy boys. But inside was a haven where deplorables could speak freely. Fans geeked out as they took selfies with their favorite right-wing YouTube stars. Now, this story is by J. Oliver Conroy of The Guardian. And it sounds like that he was inside there. Now, whether he was invited or not, I don't know. But I did watch a video where they didn't invite any outside media at all. So if he was in there, he was in there as a guest of somebody, or this person snuck in, because it sounds like it's a first-hand account here. I just wanted to point that out. And, of course, again, that little dig at right-wing YouTube stars. And remember earlier up there, up in the article, I'll go back up here real quick, I thought this was funny, where he talked about the troll-turned-citizen journalist. Now, I just want to say something about that real quick. If the lamestream media was going to be all in for the regressive left and not telling the truth about stories or not even covering stories, what did they expect? Did they think people were just going to lie down and not tell the truth about things? I don't think so. I really don't think so. And so these journalists, I'm using air quotes on that, these journalists out there from these lamestream media outlets, they're jealous of the stardom, I guess, of these YouTubers, the right-wing YouTube stars, as it were. The evening's most unexpected guest was Chelsea Manning, who dropped by briefly during the earlier part of the evening to the surprise of those present and the confusion and consternation of leftist social media users who heard the news on Twitter. Manning later uploaded a picture of herself making a thumbs down sign, announcing that she had just crashed the fascist white supremacist hate brigade party. But others disputed her characterization of her presence there. "Yes, I literally shook hands with Chelsea Manning tonight. The left is freaking out. It was not a big deal," Mike Cernovich, the event's main organizer, wrote on Twitter. Cernovich, a right-wing muckraker, occasional men's right advocate, and self-described mindset guru, said he was glad she stopped by. "All are welcome to party with me." 20 years ago, the idea that anyone can get their own social media account and troll any senator to their face would be regarded as absurdity. Michael Malice, a fixture on the alternative media sphere, told a cheering crowd, "The gatekeepers who are controlling our information are failing. 20 years ago, there were 3 channels. Today, there are literally infinite YouTube channels, infinite Twitter profiles, infinite Facebook profiles. You can't silence people any longer. At last year's Deplorable, members of the anti-establishment movement, then known as the alt-right, celebrated the inauguration of Donald Trump, a man they credit themselves with having memed into the White House over the resistance of a hostile political media elite. Even then, few Americans had heard the term alt-right, and the political establishment was only belatedly recognizing the influence exercised by a network of online alternative media outlets and right-wing social media personalities. A lot can happen in a year. Today, the movement has a super PAC, Gateway Pundit, a far-right blog that has been criticized for spreading hoaxes, has been accredited to the White House Press Corps. Recently, Cernovich partnered with BuzzFeed News to release revelations about sexual harassment claims against Michigan Representative John Conyers. As they have moved from the darkest corners of the internet to the white tablecloth banquet halls of Washington and New York, pro-Trump online provocateurs, famous for their hatred of political correctness, have also been forced to engage in their own project of respectability politics. Members of the repackaged and somewhat sanitized movement consider themselves populists and nationalists, not bigots. As they see it, one can support, say, hardline immigration policies without being racist. As Gavin McGinnis, the co-founder of Vice and founder of the Proud Boys, a Western chauvinist and anti-feminist group, explained last year to the New Yorker's Andrew Morantz, they, white nationalists, care about the white race. We care about Western values. And let me stop the reading here. And this is where Mr. Conroy gets it wrong from Oliver Conroy, J. Oliver, J-O-C there. This is where he gets it wrong. They're not against, the way he puts it in here about feminists, all they're against feminists. They're against, and most of these, and I won't call them alt-right because I don't believe in the left-right paradigm anymore. Because it doesn't work. You're either for freedom or you're against freedom. And these guys are for freedom. This guy like Mr. Conroy, the lamestream media, their sycophants and their supporters, the regressive left, they don't care about freedom. All they care about is you agreeing with them. If you don't agree with them, they're going to try their best to take away all your freedoms from you. All right? So, again, this portrayal in The Guardian by Mr. Conroy of these freedom folks, these folks that care about freedom, they care about inclusivity, but they also care about debating the issues on the facts, not on the feelings. And they're talking about, they've conflated this term white nationalists with Western values. And again, I don't care what your skin color is. As long as you don't even have to agree with me, but as long as you allow me or allow these folks to articulate their positions on Western values, which include freedom and liberty and non-aggression and being able to protect yourself and our God-given rights, those are Western values. But the lamestream media doesn't care about Western values at all. All they care about is the narrative that they've crafted. And now they're mad because their narrative isn't being supported by the masses anymore. And you have this new group out here that believes in freedom of the press, that believes in telling both sides of the story, and it believes in separation of things. Like there should be a separation of press and state. And that's the biggest problem with the lamestream media now is they are so much in bed with the state, it isn't even funny. Now, let me read on. Do you want to make us look professional or sloppy? In emails to guests leading up to the event, Cernovich laid out strict rules of decorum, dress code, and security protocol. By attending the event, you become a brand ambassador, he wrote. Do you want to make us look professional or do you want us to look sloppy? Any journalist requesting press passes would be denied. I'm bored with the media lying about me and us and have no interest in press coverage. And he added, undercover security personnel would be mingling with the guests to keep an eye out for negative or toxic people. But if a night for freedom was an opportunity to show off the rebranded and increasingly mainstream alternative right wing, and that's his words, not mine, it was also a reminder that mainstream is a relative notion. While the alt-light may have successfully distanced itself from the worst extremists, it can sometimes seem unclear exactly how light the new movement is. And again, I take issue with this verbiage that Mr. Conroy is using, because it doesn't describe these folks in the best light. It doesn't describe at all, really. Again, these guys are talking about issues of freedom and liberty and how Western values made America great. Not the white race. How Western values. And how, folks, I've seen it. I have friends that are from Venezuela and Brazil, from Mexico, from India. And they came here and they embraced the Western values. They're not white. Western values aren't about race. They're about values. And this is what the lamestream media never gets. And so what they don't get and don't understand, they besmirch and smear all over the place. I read on. A prolific live streamer who rails against Democrats, the establishment GOP, and the fake news peddling media to his hundreds of thousands of Twitter and Periscope followers, Cernovich is known for reflexively accusing his detractors of pedophilia, and he was one of the propagators of Pizzagate, the wholly discredited conspiracy theory that high-ranking Democrats were operating a child sex ring out of the back of a Washington, D.C. Pizzeria. Now, let me stop this again. It may have not started or been run out of this pizzeria, but with everything after the Harvey Weinstein revelations, we know that pedophilia is rampant. Is rampant in the country and the power brokers of this country and the powerful people, the beautiful and the powerful. You know, and I don't know Mike Cernovich. I've only been following him for a little while. He's a lawyer. He seems very capable on his feet as far as, you know, in a running battle with argument or wits and stuff like that. And the lamestream media doesn't like that. They just don't like it. So they're painting him, and I think, in a terrible light here. I really do. And if he wants to do anything about it, which I don't think he will, but if he wanted to do anything about it, I think they'd pick, I think Mr. Conroy's picked the wrong fight with the wrong person. In other words, he brought a knife to a gunfight, if you know what I mean. Joining Cernovich at the evening's headline acts were McGinnis, a reality TV star and Trump supporter, Anna Kalt, political operatives Jack Posobiec, and Ali Alexander and Stefan Molyneux, a far-right podcaster who advocates anarcho-capitalism and racial IQ theories. Now, let me stop the reading here. I've been a fan of Stefan for years now, probably 5-6 years, maybe, on YouTube. He is a philosopher, and he is a podcaster. I would not call him far right at all. Like I said, I don't think you could define Stefan Molyneux on the right-left paradigm. He's a guy, he's up on the freedom side, not the anti-freedom side like this Mr. Conroy seems to be. And yes, he did bring out and talked about some racial IQ theories, but the theories that he brought out were in papers that he was citing that actual scientists went out and were talking about this. And they actually did some research on this. And at no time do I remember Stefan saying that the IQ of some of these races would remain that way. Some of the IQ, and I've done a little reading on this myself, take Haiti, for instance. Average IQ of the average Haitian is below 70, which in most countries, that's mentally deficient. But there's a lot of factors that go into that. Their malnourishment, their just their surroundings, they're not being educated. A lot of natural stuff that's going on that's not inducive for intelligence. But yet, this guy didn't seem to go research that at all. It sounded like he just regurgitating something he heard from somebody else, so he sounds good. Molyneux, who encourages followers to break off contact with their families, has also been accused of operating a therapy cult, a charge he denies. Who encourages followers to break off contact with their families. I've watched a lot of his videos, and I've never heard him say that. And if he said something like that, it was probably taken out of context, like everything else is in this article. Like I said, some of these articles are ridiculous. In a series of panels, the speakers, some of whom seem rather tipsy, offered their thoughts on the greatest hits list of favorite topics, including Hillary Clinton, she's going to get her time, you guys just wait, cryptocurrency, the dangers of socialism, George Soros, the head of the snake, and the media, leftist propaganda machine, or as I like to call them on the Dan Clemens Show, the lamestream media. As a group of Proud Boys stood behind him in matching Fred Perry tennis shirts, McGinnis argued that women would be happier under traditional gender structures, using a vulgar physical analogy to describe how he sees young single women as being exploited by men. Again, I watched it. Yes, he was vulgar. Totally taken out of context. Just stopped reading here for a little bit. My wife and I, we every year we discuss about the Women's March, and she thinks they are ridiculous. They're vulgar. They're insane. And trust me, I tell you, folks, I married a real woman. And if she doesn't like these feminists out there at the Women's March, then there must be something to it. He went on, why do progressives have a problem with traditional people? You're the ones being left with cats and dogs for sons and daughters. And he's absolutely right. Soy boys is the term that goes around. You know, we're not raising men and we're not raising women anymore. We're just not. You know, and it's no wonder that people are afraid of the millennial generation coming up and taking leadership spots. You know, I fear if we don't turn their mindsets around away from this all this regressive garbage that's being thrown at them. The evening wore on and the drink flowed freely. In the men's room, a drunk man ranted bitterly about the Women's March. Bunch of, and I can't repeat this out there, and fags, all I know is I ain't getting none. He added for anyone wondering. And again, total hearsay. I don't know if this guy was in there. I'd love to find out. Matter of fact, I think I'm just going to direct message Mike Cernovich and see if this J. Oliver Conroy was there. Because this exactly, he sounds like he was there. If he didn't, he had a plant in there that was feeding him this information. But again, a lot of this stuff could have been just made up, too. This article goes on and on and on and on. And so you sort of get the flavor of what the lamestream media is doing, and how they really don't like people who espouse freedom. And I said this, and I talked about this a little bit a couple episodes ago, last week, where the definition, the idea of freedom had changed in the early 1900s after 1913, especially with Woodrow Wilson. Before with the founding of the country. Freedom and liberty come from God. Our rights come from God. After 1913 and the regressive era that started with Woodrow Wilson, they came up with the idea that no, there is no God. Your rights, your freedoms and liberty are extended to you by government. And we've had over 100 years of that being drilled into people. And so it's a wonder we have anybody out there that actually knows what freedom and liberty actually is anymore. That our freedom and liberty does come from God. Our rights come from God. People existed before governments ever took root. And the founders looked at America here and they set up a new system where the people are sovereign over the government. And the people have forgotten this. And mainly the people have forgotten this because it's been drilled out of their minds a bit by the regressive agenda in schooling and everything. And so it's to me, I'm glad to see these guys got together. And we're espousing some of the Western values that they're espousing. I didn't agree with everything that they were doing there. But again, it's a free country and they were allowed to do what they wanted to do. Now, this is on page 6 over the New York Post. Far-right celebrities lose venue for blowout Freedom Party. This is by Ollie Coleman. Now, he put celebrities in quotes too there, by the way. They're all worked up with nowhere to go. A group of celebrities of the far right were planning on throwing a blowout party in New York this weekend, but after a last-minute fight with the venue, organizers are scrambling to find a new spot to host the shindig. Now, this was also posted on the 19th, which would have been Friday, and so the event actually happened on Saturday the 20th. Mike Cernovich, Stefan Molyneux, and Gavin McGinnis all so-called new right personalities who each have several hundred thousand followers online and specialize in divisive monologues were all due to appear at a Night for Freedom. The Saturday night event was billed a gathering of patriots and political dissidents who are bored with mainstream political events and promised stand-up comedy speeches and a DJ set by something called Milk and Cookies. Also, there was to be a brunch on Sunday. But we're told the venue, Jake Studios in Chelsea, backed out on Friday. In a letter, event organizer Cernovich sent to the venue. Seen by Page Six, he claimed that on Wednesday he handed over a $16,000 deposit on the venue, but he claims Jack Studios began springing last-minute charges on us, such as a $9,000 fire marshal fee. Sources close to the event tell us that the venue then claimed it couldn't host the event because permits were required. Cinevich is now threatening to file a lawsuit against Jack Studios, and if Mike is anybody, you know, I've been watching him for a little while now, and I think Jack Studios is going to be sued over this. Organizers say that some 650 guests were expected. Tickets were $139 to $999 for various packages. As recently as noon on Friday, attendees were arriving at airports ready to party. A Twitter user going by Ali suggested that he had flown from Dallas, adding, "Already been spotted at the airport. Love my supporters and allies. Lots of folks about to ascend on New York City, a night for freedom." Another user who flew in from Portland for the occasion wrote on Friday, "Good morning, fam. I'm in New York, a night for freedom." Jack Studios declined to comment. So there was some issues with the venue coming up, but they finally got a place to go there in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan. And I, like I said, I'm glad they did. I'm really glad they did. But something happened afterwards. This is also from the New York Post by Stephanie Pagones. Protester accused of attacking Trump supporters charged with assault. I got two different stories here. They're both say about the same thing. One's an earlier story than the other. One was being arrested, and the other one he is, and he's being booked underneath that. Protester charged in Trump supporter attack tried to put cop in headlock. He was charged with assault. Basically, violence erupted around 10:30 p.m. when anti-Trump protesters, including 30-year-old David Campbell, clashed with alt-right supporters as they were leaving a Night for Freedom, a ticketed event held at a nightclub on West 50th Street and 12th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen. About 80 protesters gathered outside as the event goers spilled out of the venue. Police said Campbell spotted and followed a 56-year-old victim who had left the event. Once they were about a block away, Campbell allegedly choked and punched the man. The victim, whose identity wasn't released, was taken to Bellevue Hospital in stable condition. Campbell was charged with strangulation, assault, resisting arrest, loitering, criminal possession of a weapon, obstruction of government administration. Police said Cernovich called Campbell a terrorist. Now, in both of these articles, they call them protesters. And again, let me get over here, and I just want to show you the picture. I don't normally do this, but there's the picture. There's Campbell here in the center, all black. You can see like a hood off to the side there. He's not a protester. He's Antifa. He's a terrorist. He believes that the freedom that you and I actually believe in is fascism, because we believe that our freedom comes from God, and the government should not be able to control our freedoms, our liberties, as long as we're not harming anybody else. He doesn't believe that. Antifa are socialists, communists. And the funny thing about it is, Antifa, anti-fascist. This is the funny thing about it, and this is how intellectually deficient Antifa, Black Lives Matter, these terrorist groups, we have these homegrown terrorist groups we have here in America, this is how intellectually deficient they are. They don't realize that fascism is the same type of authoritarian tyrannicalism as socialism and communism is, which they claim to be socialists and communists that are fighting against fascism. It's just a different branch of it. If you could have a three-sided coin, fascism, socialism, communism would be on the three sides of the coin, and it'd be a dirty coin. And this is what, if it wasn't so tragic, I'd laugh about it. These people are intellectual morons. I just can't stand people like that. That they think they're on the right. That they think they're fighting for the right. They think they're fighting for a cause that'll make the country better, and all they're doing is destroying the country. Because all they're doing is destroying the freedom and liberty that our founding fathers recognized that we had as a natural right. from God and that our rights come from God. They don't come from the state. We have them naturally. And they don't like that. These guys are, these Antifa folks are a bunch of little dictators because they want to control what you think. They want to control what you say. They want to control where you meet. Again, this Night of Freedom wasn't even on the street. It was in a building. It was in a room inside a building on the second floor. I watched the videos. They said they were up on the second floor. And this is no different from, I've shared stories with you from campus reform, where these Republicans were meeting in a room in the basement of a library, not even out in plain sight, and you had these agitators come in there and break up the meeting. They had them come in and break up. These people are spoiling for a fight. And I hope they throw the book at this guy. I hope they lock him away, throw away the key, and then throw away the cell he's in. And never to be heard from again. Because this is what he deserves. And honestly, I think the law needs to start making examples of these people. Jeff Sessions, our attorney general, he's asleep at the wheel. He should be treating these folks like terrorists. And as far as I'm concerned, I think the New York City police were sort of falling down on the job to allow them to be out there to begin with. They're not protesters. I can't say that enough. They're not protesters. And so this guy is really, he picked the wrong fight. He really did. Because Mike Cernovich, I was watching a video and he says, he can't be his lawyer because he can't practice law in New York State. He's in California. He can. He's helping him get a lawyer. I think they said something about they're setting up a defense fund for this guy. Not the perpetrator, the guy that was the 56-year-old that was attacked, and setting this defense fund up. They're going to make sure that they pressure the prosecutor to prosecute this guy to the fullest extent of the law. And I can't. Folks, that's going to be a circus on that because you know there's going to be some Antifa outside that courthouse that are just going to be acting up out there. And as far as I'm concerned, let them because they're just showing how morally deficit they are and how morally wrong. I just, words escape me, and that's hard. That's hard for me to do. Words escaping me. Again, it's amazing how much the lamestream media will let these actual terrorists, these agitators, get away with when people are being peaceful and assembling and associating with others freely, and which they have liberty to do. They're all up in arms about it. You know, calling them all sorts of names that they're not even. Again, the paradigm, freedom and anti-freedom. Which side are you on? Are you on the freedom? Are you up on the freedom side? Are you down on the anti-freedom side? It's been the Dan Clements Show. I'm your host, Dan Clements, your constitutional warrior. Remember, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Have a great rest of the day, folks, and we'll see you in the next video.